One young man
was helping me with, helps out with computer work here. And he came in my my office really upset. Someone had accused him of ruining one of the computers. So I was listening to him and naming his emotion and the cause of his emotion and like that. And then another devotee came in the room who also works with him. And he was talking to him also. And he was using all the roadblocks. He told him, so anyway, you know, you have to become more equipoised. You know, these things are going to happen, ups and downs. And you know, you're such a baby. You know, you're 15 years old now. Don't you know better than this? I mean, I saw a group of boys the other day go through a similar thing, and he just took it as Krishna's word. It was just like 5 minutes ago. So that was interesting. I had to go, so I didn't. Couldn't really judge which one he reacted better to. So, anyone here have a chance to active listen last night? Adhiji, would you like to tell us what happened?
Okay, a boy that manages an ashram near my house came over, and he's the brother of the person who manages my ashram, and he said, he really has a big problem in his ashram because he has two widows there that are fighting. And I said, it sounds like you're feeling really frustrated. And he said, yeah, they're, you know, one widow, she's using too much electricity, and then the other one's complaining because she doesn't have enough. And I said, oh, so, well, it's really upsetting to you. He said, yeah. And then he said, but luckily one of them's going away soon, so I won't have to deal with it.
Good. Very good. Anyone else? No one else? Well, we better do some practice today then. Okay, was there anyone like to share any realizations they had about the other homework assignments? Meditating on the concept of circle of concern and circle of influence for 5 minutes. Yes, Mataji?
We thought we can have such influence that when we meditate on the circle of influence and the circle of concern, though we feel our influence is very, very small and we are very concerned with so many things that we can't do anything.
Okay, that's interesting. Also, though, when works on things that one can actually do something about, one's influence also expands.
Also, I had the opposite
reaction. Oh, really? Okay.
You know,
let's hear it.
It's just so important to go ahead and write that letter to the city of Dallas about recycling or whatever, you know, whatever you want to do, and have your influence felt, you know, instead of just being concerned about it. I, you know, so I thought you do make a difference if you do something.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah, you can, right. I also would agree with that. I would agree with both points. It was kind of like that prayer that we were hearing yesterday to have, you know, have the intelligence to change things you can change and the serenity to not worry about the things that you can't do anything about. The other thing is that sometimes circumstances change and what you couldn't do something about, now you can do something about, or vice versa, depending on how things go. Any other realizations?
I found that my circle of concern is a pretty smaller world with the eye very much in the center. All my concerns is pretty much related actually to my opinion, my understanding, my expectation. So this also limits the influence one may have into working to outside. And it would be very nice, and I'm trying to broaden this circle of concern also. And this is, I think, what we would try to work for if we think in terms of what does really move me, what does really inspire me, what does really makes me do things. Eh? And this should be the first, that's what I was thinking. The first endeavor should be to broaden the circle of concern beyond the self-interest.
Okay, I would agree with that. Definitely, that's our philosophy. Like, part of dukkha dukkhi, that a devotee is unhappy when he sees the unhappiness of others. But then one should, but I would also say one should be realistic. Just like we were saying the other day, that it's okay to have your head in the clouds as long as your feet are on the ground, you know. So it's nice to have our, you know, have that understanding that we should feel compassion for all living entities. But then we should also work within our circle of influence on how we can, what can we tangibly do with our time, our short duration of human form of life, to best serve that purpose. So I think both should be there. Okay, now, how many people did that exercise? How many? Is there anyone here who didn't do those 2 5-minute exercises last night? Okay, so please do the homework. Okay. I think, you, especially the type of things like that, you'll kind of, you may miss out on some things that may help you a lot, may help us in our life. I know when I just spent 5 minutes thinking about reincarnation, and I came up, you know, just came up with my mind. Just, you know, I mean, obvious things just came up. I'm not this body. I'm spirit, soul. My existence here is so temporary, and I base my reality on so many things that I think are permanent, but they're not. And therefore, I should use my human form of life better. I mean, it was quite interesting for me to try to think about it deeply. Now, what I'd like to do is find a brave soul or two in amongst us 50 devotees to sit up here along with me, and in this completely unnatural atmosphere, try to be natural. And I'll try to talk with you about your problem, and we'll see how it goes. And then after that, what we'll do is we'll break up into groups and practice it amongst ourselves, and then after that we'll get back together and discuss how it went. So the first thing I need is Eckhart Prabhu and Parsar. Can you move this out of the way a little bit? Okay, now don't all volunteer at once. But is there someone who would be willing to again, it doesn't have to be the innermost, deepest secret that you haven't revealed to anyone since you were born, you know, type thing. But I would appreciate. But I think it would be better if it's a real one. So, is there someone here who's willing to? Okay, Mataji. So you have to bring a chair. Hare Krishna, how are you?
I'm completely disturbed.
You know, one second before we go into roll. Okay, try to just talk to me as much as you can. I'll try to just talk to you. And everyone, keep your laughter to yourselves for your whatever. We'll try to be as real as we can. Okay, now we're in roll. You've just come to my office. There's no one else in my office. And so, Hare Krishna Mataji.
No, I can't control my mind anymore. I'm completely disturbed by the situation.
Sounds like you're really distressed because your mind's going all over the place.
Yeah, I can't make it. I don't know if I'm going to make it in Krishna consciousness. It's too hard. It's not, the devotees, they just upset me. You know, the temple president is not taking care of me. And there is a sannyas in the community, but he doesn't want to speak to women. And I feel like I'm alone, you know, completely alone. Mm.
Sounds really distressful to be in such a situation where you don't feel the love of the other people in the community.
What do you think I should do? Like, I feel like coming to Vrindavan and leave you, because here I feel so much shelter and so many advanced devotees and so many wonderful associations, and I feel I don't want to go back to this place, I just want to stay in Vrindavan.
It's a big relief here.
Yeah, such a relief.
Vrindavan's a nice place.
Wonderful place.
Now, just out of roll just for a second. Now, she did ask me what I felt, so I may... Like right then, I felt like asking her a question because there was a little lapse. And that wouldn't have been... I wouldn't feel inappropriate about doing that because she asked me what... Right, you asked me what I should do. Although, my general mood is definitely that I'm going to keep... kind of keeping the problem on her side and searching for some kind of self solution. But also, I could see that there was a little
right there, I felt a little gap in the conversation, and that, you know, it has to be filled. You can't just go there and go, right? And I see, you know, when she's actually asking me a question. But I were to ask her a question, I would be very keen on going back into active listening right away if the opportunity arose. You see, sometimes you may take, especially because she kind of gave me, said, please help. So I may take it on, asking questions, things like that. But again, go back to active listening. You see, so it's, you know, obviously not that we can't ever ask a question, or so many things, right? We have to, a counselor has to ask so many questions. That's why I said we're not exactly teaching counseling here, which is much more in-depth. Thing, but this is skills that any counselor has to learn before he can be effective. Can we try to go back into? So, what's the nature of what's your service there?
I'm a local teacher, you know, but I have no support. You know, I feel like the devotees around me, you know, they have no knowledge, you know, they are not surrendered to Krishna, and I feel like no good association, no good association. Like just around me, you know, no good association. That's the word, you know.
So it's really discouraging to have so many people around you who you don't really think are very advanced, but they're telling you what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I don't trust them, you know. I feel cheated, you know, like we are learning with Prabhu Bhir Prabhu, the demons, you know, all the demons. And I just feel, you know, like this putana, it's pseudo-guru, and all this around me, you know, so many things. And I feel like I'm not going to make it in this place, you know. I need a shelter, and I need a place where it's peaceful, and where I can see Krishna face to face. And bring that, and I can just see Krishna. But in this other place, I just can't see Krishna. It's too many impediments.
So you have a real burning desire to just be somewhere where you be peaceful, go on with your Krishna consciousness, and not have to be, you know, disturbed at every turn.
Yeah. But at the same time, I want to help others, you know. I want to help others. And I know if I stay in Vrindavan, how I'm going to do some service for Prabhupada? How I'm going to help others, you know, but I don't feel strong enough to stay in this Western place.
Wow.
I'm confused.
On one hand, you want to be here to help yourself, on the other hand, you want to be in the West helping others.
Yes. Yes,
that's
the problem. Do you think you can help me?
Can you type? Okay. I told you the managers and counselors should have a division of labor.
I don't know what to say.
Well, anyway, go back and just try it again. How did you feel about our discussion or my reactions to your...
I feel you can't help me. I don't know, you didn't give me any suggestion, and you understand my problem, but I feel like you are helpless, you can't do anything for me.
So you didn't feel seems like you weren't like fully satisfied, but...
No, I'm not satisfied because I don't know still what I should do, you know. Mm-hmm.
That was active listening. That was more real than all the others. Okay, so this is also a good lesson to learn, that when someone actually is in distress, we can't just keep on. You know, she has a need to be fulfilled. Now, of course, I guess I'm trying to think of what I would do in that situation, because with the conversation would have kept on going. I would have, you know, experimented with different solutions, probably, but ultimately I would try. My tendency as a person, I mean, people are different. My tendency would be to still try to have her. I wouldn't just say, okay, you should just do this. I have a realization, just do this, you know. But rather, I would confirm it with her and try to walk through what the different consequences would be.
In that case, like there sounded to be not a lot, but some generalization maybe. So maybe that would be the question. Don't you have like a general, maybe a general bad look on the situation you're in, or like that?
I'm not sure I follow what you mean.
No, I'm English speaking. I mean, The thing is that there was some generalization there.
Right.
Yeah, I cannot see all the devotees. That can never be. Isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not in her shoes. She may feel that. That's true, though. That's one thing active listening often does, is that it helps people to clarify. Well, it's not a, you know, if I were to feedback something like that, it sounds like all the devotees there are just, well, it's not all the devotees. I mean, actually, I get along with so-and-so, but such-and-such. Wow.
And then you get more precise, and then slowly, then the problem can be...
But this also is not a very simple one, obviously. Right? You're thinking about this. This is a real problem. And you're thinking about it a lot. Right? And have you come to a conclusion yet yourself?
The conclusion for me, you know, is that I have to approach a spiritual master, and if he has to guide me, you know, exactly, and I do what he said, you know. So now I'm waiting for this. Yeah.
Nice.
That's
all? Oh, you can go back, yeah. I don't spot anymore.
When a person has a problem, and they say, what do you think I should do? I found it myself, especially I have a little daughter. And when she told me I have this problem with school, and I said, what do you think you should do? And she said, well, I know what I should do. You know, they'll usually come over, they'll say things, and they'll find a solution.
Right.
The point she was making, there are so many problems when they're stating a problem, there's so many other things will come up. It's usually a reflection of the emotions, and it's not that she means that all these people are bad, or she doesn't like any friends in school, but one particular friend she might not like.
Right.
They're all mean, they're all so mean. Well, she just took my prasadam today because she wanted what I make with, you know, my spaghetti or something. Tomorrow I'm not going to sit by her, and it's just a little thing, but usually it's all the classmates and everybody's bad. But then you listen and say, what do you think you should do? Oh, I should sit over here too. I shouldn't sit over there. They usually get a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you try to pick up something from what they're saying, you might just pick up the wrong thing.
Yeah, might get the wrong thing.
Yeah, so if you just let them say it, they will, you know, they say, what do you think you should do? Then they usually will come to a solution. Like she said, I've been thinking about it. And then I should find a spiritual master. That's much more than anybody else could offer her.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when you offer a solution, the person will not take it so seriously. But it comes from inside. It's, you know... I see it a lot with my daughter after the experience, because then she takes it up. It's her solution, it's her problem. You know, she understands it, and she's foolish.
Especially when people aren't surrendered.
Yeah.
Is your daughter fully surrendered? No.
What the situation is.
Right. So she's kind of, it was interesting her reply, because she's actually looking for a situation, it sounded like, you know, of being able to fully surrender to someone and get their advice. But my feeling also in training devotees in Krishna consciousness, I feel that this kind of mood is very helpful to teach them even from right from the very beginning. Because sometimes people join this kind of very, I joined when I was 17, you know, very young age. They have very little experience with solving the problem. You know, they're just out of high school. Right? And I feel this is a very positive way to train them to recognize their problems and to solve them, learn to solve them themselves and become self-reliant. I mean, I know certain devotees who are in certain temples where this, the opposite philosophy was, you know, you have to approach the temple president for every, you know, for a dime to go buy a, well, I guess you don't buy a bubble gum. Anyway, whatever, you buy a carrot or something. And, you know, they're 40 years old and they still don't know how to tie their shoelaces, sort of. You know, they have to give permission to, you know, for every little thing. It can be also unhealthy. So, we'll try one more and then we'll break up into groups. Okay? Any man willing to sit here? Thank you.
Very much, eh?
Yeah, it's a good chair.
Sure.
No, okay. Well, you're in role already. Okay. Yes, Prue, what is it?
Well, it's my spiritual master. He sent me out in a traveling sankirtan, which is, of course, very special activity. But the person he sent me with a very hard time in dealing with him properly. He's a senior devotee also, so I understand that. But I just feel he doesn't give me the right. He doesn't have the mood. But I would expect to learn from a senior devotee. Very frustrating thing.
Okay. And out of role for a second. So of course he just gave it away, right? Frustration. But I was going to ask everyone what, you know, to So it's kind of, I mean, we were saying that one of the difficulties is to try to avoid parroting, you know. So in this case, I followed because I was trying to, I was really trying to meditate as he was speaking what the emotion was, and I was having trouble coming up with it. That's why I was going to break out a roll and ask you, because I was really stuck. But he gave it away. So I think it's all right to say it's, again, say it's frustrating. But one should definitely paraphrase the cause. Otherwise, if I just say, sounds really frustrating that you're traveling with a senior devotee and, you know, you don't know how to act with them, it's the exact same words. Okay, we'll go back into roll. So that, like you said, that's sounds like it's really a frustrating situation where you don't know how to think and behave, you know, think properly, not to offend them, and behave properly so you can go on with your...
On the other hand, of course, I also try to have faith in the order of my spiritual master. If he sends me with this person, I try to understand there's a good reason why this person, this situation, why it is like that. I see it as an arrangement. But at the same time, it's very tough to not lose faith in even in the order of Guru at that time. So it's a very difficult situation. Maybe you have some advice, you have more, much more experience. Maybe you can give some hints.
Yeah, sure. So it seems like there's like a, there's a bigger concern. Not just the dealings with this person, but, you know, faith in Guru and carrying out his instructions. Out of the way. How was that? What? How did you feel? Did I understand that?
I didn't expect you to say that. That's one thing.
You were expecting me to give a solution?
No, it's a way of looking at things which I would not have understood myself. That's one thing. And you say, well, there may be an underlying main reason which you worry about more. I wouldn't have thought of it myself.
Was that right?
I don't know if it's right, but I would not have thought of it myself.
Okay, that's interesting. Because one could say that I was interpreting, right? But when you use this technique, even if there is a little. Interpreting's not as bad as manipulating. Now, if I was manipulating, what would I have said? I would have said, you know, sounds like you're worried that you're, you know, really being a rascal by not having, you know, faith in the spiritual master that, you know, actually saved you from birth, death, disease, and old age, and millions of births in this material world. Right? that's manipulating in the guise of active listening. You know, I'm preaching to him, but with the words of it seems like that. Now again, both of these people kind of handed the problem over to me, and it's funny. I've noticed over the last couple of years that's happening more to me than it did when I was a younger devotee. Because I'm teaching active listening in this course, and I'm not teaching counseling, and I'm not an expert at counseling myself, I'm stopping the conversations here and just trying to show you some ideas of active listening. And also, we're all on the spot here, and 100 people are watching us. But often in our conversations, they don't just immediately do that. Sometimes it happens over weeks, happens over months, or doesn't happen at all. But naturally, if I take it as my service to my spiritual master to help him, I may take on, in some ways, part of that problem. In other words, as a service to the other devotee. But yeah, even as I'm taking on the problem and asking him questions and probing and what do you think about this, I'll always be trying to get him to see how he feels about it. As we were saying before, that you know, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion. So unless he was fully surrendered, and I had, you know, very clear realization, this is what you should do, I could save a whole lot of trouble. You know, look, Prabhu, what you should do right now, go to your spiritual master, he's right down the street there, right? Make an appointment, tell him exactly what you told me, and see what he says. You know, okay?
Thank you.
Next! Okay, so what I really wanted to do was just give you some idea of how...
Is it okay?
Yeah, yes, you can. But don't go to your spiritual master. The other funny thing is that, in fact, in both of these cases, especially with this one, where I know exactly the situation, but I've talked to other people about his situation. And it was Not exactly. I mean, I don't know. I know the situation, but I don't know. Even if I'm familiar with the situation, I don't know how he's reacting to it. So I still have to, you know, find out. And by active listening, one can find out. So what I want you to do now, can you come through?
I have one question. Sometimes we, this role playing gets, both these cases get into a kind of typicalist kind of situation that you're dealing with someone, they come to you for advice, and perhaps you're in a position where they respect you and want your advice, and maybe even like a Shiksha Guru, but to them they really have a lot of respect for you, but you have to always refer to a second authority rather than give them any advice, even if you really know what would help them, and suppose they even come to a conclusion on their own. They got, well, I guess I should really do this. It always comes down in our society to asking permission from the guru. Unless you go along with his particular order. They stay in their position as guru, the teacher, he stays in position as second, then there's no problem. But if they want the change, then they're not able to affect it themselves, nor are you, as a counselor, able to really advise them to in an effective way what a change might be or what a good change might be, unless it's an attitude change.
Hmm. Do you want to comment on this?
No, because I have the same principle. I see, because we have had an experience where we are in Italy with conflict between counseling and managing. And I see it as less of a simple thing. There are stories of prison intentions for counseling and managers that have to carry on projects and take authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And I just block and see how the two things can ever get smoothly together. Because the counselor's going to be, just like you said, he's going to arrive at a certain point where you've got to use some. A little bit, at least some little bit of direction. I mean, both just the right direction, looking for direction. And you know that I tell this one, okay, stay in Vrindavan, you got a big problem with the president, wherever they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And then that president's not going to want you to counsel him.
Are you agreeing?
Start saying what
I agree with what he's saying. Yeah,
I just see it as a being a. I know I have a very practical experience.
Right.
Just to the number one counselor there, and the number one making managers there.
Sometimes you hear the manager saying, oh, look, that counselor, I'm going to bring his neck, you know, insubordination. Well, I hate to be, you may take this as a cop-out, but we're going to discuss this the last 2.5 days of the class.
But I was in college, I went to counseling, and I talked to the counselor a long time, and towards the end of the sessions, he said, well, our real business here is to keep you in school. You know, and that was his objective. So the counselor had an objective rather than seeing my best solution.
Right.
You know, he saw stay in school. So similarly, this kind of counselor, to be politically correct, would be his idea to keep you in your service and keep you in your school.
Right.
And the person will get frustrated, you know, the person doesn't do it, they
what I try to do is discuss with the person the consequences as well. And we're going to discuss another thing in a little while about how to deal when there's people see each other as problems. Maybe we could use this as a role, one person could be a manager and one person could be a counselor. And and we could discuss that, but I tried to also bring that in, you know, well, what's, you know, you decide to go to another temple, what will your, you know, GDC say, what will your family say, what will you say to him? But, I'd say the best objective when I'm talking to someone is I try to help have them solve their own problem. And then what happens is what we call the counselor, I become like a resource for them to solve their problem. Do you understand? They take, you know, I found that this can be very effective, and it can make someone very, you know, very quickly kind of, you know, grow up. You know, they're trained in the sense of taking on their problems, but they can also see someone like the counselor, someone like myself or other devotees, as a resource to help them solve the problem. You know, I may have some information, I may have some knowledge of the scriptures, I may just be an active listener, and you know, they know that they can come to me anytime and use me as, you know, to sound off some ideas. And this is, you know, this is encouraging. We don't want to just have a group in this kind of whole society of neophyte devotees who, you know, can't make decisions on their own. But rather we want a group of, you know, what is it? Like, you know, Prabhupada said in the same Karanda letter, independent thinkers. Anyway, I'm just quoting Prabhupada's letter. He said that this is a letter to a GBC man, and this is what he was saying, that this is the duty of the GBC to have to, you know, train up independent thinkers. Of course, naturally, we want people to, you know, be independently thinking within some parameters. We want them to independently come up with better and better ideas to preach Krishna consciousness, not to, you know, preach Buddhism. You know, there's certain parameters, and we all want to see ISKCON flourish, and we want to see, you know, etc. like that. But this is being taped. I have to be careful. Okay, just a little. No, I won't take any more questions now because I really want devotees to start practicing this. We're going to spend today practicing it, and we're going to spend most of Thursday just practicing. Because I want you to get a little taste for it. So that, because I told you that, here's something. If I just say, you know, you really have to, you know, I really want you to practice this to, you know, to become expert at it. Okay? But what's the difference between that and if I say, by just spending 2 or 3 weeks practicing this process, one will become very expert in it? In writing, there's something called show, don't tell. Understand this point? Okay, that if you can, if the best kind of preaching often is just leading someone on to make their own conclusion, instead of just saying you have to surrender to Krishna. An expert preacher will sometimes just explain what happens to the conditioned soul who's not surrendered to Krishna, explain the glories of surrendering to Krishna, and just leave it at that. And then the person's intelligence takes over and says, I should surrender to Krishna. And when that comes from the person and not just from an external source, it becomes so much stronger and realized. Anyway, whichever way I say it, it's a very powerful technique. And if we just spend a little time learning it, we'll have that technique at our disposal to help so many people for the rest of our existence in this body. So, it's 10 o'clock, so we have a half hour. Okay, I think if there's enough time, break up into groups of three. One person will have the problem. I hope you all have your problems. One person will receive it, and another person will observe. And you can spend about 5 minutes talking. You might want to have on your lap that list of emotions on whatever page that was. You know, don't worry if it takes a little time at first. Okay? Don't, you know, take your time and say, you know, just think about it. Because it's just like, it's like driving a car, right? I mean, after doing we used to put 70,000 miles on our van every year. I mean, I could eat while I was driving, I could chant while I was driving, I could sleep while I was driving, I could do anything while I was reading the Shastra, you know, while I was driving, because I just drove and drove and drove and drove. And then when I got in the car with someone who was just learning to drive and looking through the mirror, you know, putting down the direction and, you know, and so cautious and gradually going to the stop sign, you know, looking both ways 100 times, you know. Right? So that's where we're at right now. But that's okay, because that person will. It just with a little practice, it becomes natural. So don't mind having those emotions on your lap there. And let me see if I have any other. Okay, and the people with the problems, try to be a little talkative. You know, try to be natural, but help the guy out by, you know, If he says that sounds frustrating, don't just say no. Okay. Try to be natural. And it's better to have real problems because you can actually respond with your heart. Okay. If it works out in odd numbers, I'll join that other group. Okay. So look to your left and to your right. Try it loudly if you can. I know your voice is good.
I think it came out with the principle of how sometimes a problem, the person will come with a problem and it will seem like a very mundane or external reason, but actually deep down it's just a symptom, just the tip of the iceberg of his, you know, deeper or complex and what you're realizing you're wrong, you're just on the A and the ABC, but how to bring it He said he asked about a very passive thing, which was, by what he said at first words, that he said it was much different than that. Actually, the drawing is almost much more. The active listener to just probe and try to get back, or give a solution, he said, on one side, he said, what should I do?
Again, then he's asking for some advice, you know.
It's
not my problem.
Suddenly he's also asking some deeper problems.
This is just the first step, but I found that it's such a powerful first step. And many times you're going to see that the person just wants it will go on for an hour. And often come up with their own solutions, or at least let off a whole bunch of steam, which helps them just go on with their, or to see things more clearly, right? But we don't want to take on another person's thought. That's what probing does. And so again, unless that's what you've been asked to do, and you feel you know have some qualification, some ability to do it. You know? Like I have some people right now coming to me. With a marriage problem, and just the other day, and you know, basically, I don't feel they're trying to make a very major decision, and I personally don't feel qualified enough to just say, do this, don't do that. So I'm trying my best. What I'm trying to do is just listen, you know, pray to Krishna for you know to see if I can come up with you know some ideas. And basically try to give them some tools on how they can come to a decision themselves. Because what if I just give it, if I just come up with some solution, I'm not a very qualified person, and it doesn't work out, and I go, oh, this guy, you know, he ruined our...
So is it true that listening to me both and they're giving advice?
But they're such senior devotees, but...
No, but the point is, if somebody comes to you with a matter-of-fact problem, you know, and he expresses, well, I got angry at the Rickshaw Waller.
Right.
I mean, how often do we take it into a one-hour session? We say, look, here's the way to handle it.
Yeah.
This, you
know? Right, it's like when somebody says, Prabhu, what time is it? Sounds like you're really worried about that. I just go to the next guy, what time is it? Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. That's on some kind of trip. We just like ready to be in RS class. No, this is also unnatural because I'd say most of the time I find people don't immediately just come up to you and say, can I talk to you for a moment? You know, it's more, this is a bit of an unnatural thing. You have a problem, you're going, you know, when you're in a classroom situation. But when someone does do that, then of course, there's, we can give it, you know, when someone comes with advice, you know, so-called little surrender, then certainly there's nothing wrong with giving advice. But even in that case, as Treya Prabhu was saying, listening will be very helpful because you may give advice on A and it's actually C that's causing them the problem. And you'll never get down to C. Right? If say the tip of the iceberg was the rickshaw, you say, yeah, yesterday I just punched out a rickshaw wall. Right? Right? And you say, you shouldn't do that, Prabhu, this is the holy ground. You don't see that they have four arms, but they do. And that's the end of it.
But actually, if you went on to see that, you know, the person's actually really angry, you know, about something much more deeper, having some big doubts about something in Krishna consciousness. See, so these tools will help us get to that. That's a problem, you know. But sometimes it feels, you know, how do you, you know, fix a computer? Well, how do you sound like you're really That's ludicrous. But my another thing I'd like to make the point of in the homework assignment is the more we practice it, we'll also, because we're intelligent human beings, we'll see when to use it and when not to. So the homework, by the way, is, God, please, there's 3 days between now and the next class. So including today, right? There's all of today, then there's Hasan Panchami, then there's Wednesday, the Prakram. Please! You know, unless you lock yourself up in a room, there has to be some opportunity to hear another human being. So when you do it, please practice active listening. Let's hear some others. Thank you for discussing that. Mother Jagatan? Loudly, please.
I really see the need for me to practice the, to identify the emotion and to express that. But then you can only do that for so long.
Right.
So, I mean, even in a 5-minute session, you might have gotten to that point, and then you have to go on to the next stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're just concerned with us practicing that part of it.
Yeah, you mean in terms of like going on into counseling or giving suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, while we're doing these practice sessions now in your class, you just want us to work on identifying the emotion and expressing it to the person.
Well, yeah, listening to people, whether it's or whether it's...
You don't want us to go and start probing and asking questions to help them start to come to the solution.
Well, certainly if that's going to come up. That may not come up in the next 3 days. You know, that's a more, you know, when the person really has a problem. It might be on a much more simpler level. But you can't just say, I can't go any further because Brajabihari hasn't taught us that yet, you know. let's just stop right here and I'll get back to you next week. You know, obviously it's a natural. The whole idea is that you don't just say, now I'm going to try to act, you know, in a natural way. But like I said, I didn't find it atypical when I just went into that devotee's room the other day, and he went on for like 45 minutes, and he was really distraught about this one thing. And at that time, he didn't ask me for my advice, but he really wanted to discuss it.
Did you say that we should have 5 minutes each?
Yeah, that was the idea.
It seems like that's not enough time.
It's not enough time. This course, I've gotten a strong realization. This semester. When I taught it in Radhadesh, it was an hour and a half. Right? It should be an hour and a half lessons every day. Definitely. The only advantage to this is when I taught in Radhadesh, it was 7 days. And this is 10 days. So I can compensate for it. But actually, yeah, it's a problem. Now there may be some chance to extend it a little bit because some of the courses are ending a day or two early. So if I might be willing to do more practices if devotees want to do it instead of those classes in the afternoon, if anyone's interested.
Well, in the constant course section, we met in groups of three the same way. One person remained the counselor, one person the observer for the whole session, and then the next time they met, the next day, they changed roles.
So it was more time.
Yeah.
That's nice. Nice idea. Thank you. Some other... Someone else want to share what happened? There's a lot of noise. I mean, it was quite a buzz, you know, going on in the Eckhart.
We didn't have any problems with the time because
everything ended in 2 minutes.
You know, when the counselor made up the found out the emotion, they had to stop talking, so or asked immediately for advice. So we just switched around because. The session was over.
Well, that's the shortcoming of unnatural situations. That's why I'm hoping that all of you will find yourself in some natural, more natural setting practices. Dharmi Titan?
One thing we discovered was that when you're first identifying the emotion, then when you're trying to identify the cause of the emotion, at the point where you're identifying the cause, it's something different to what the person is talking about.
Yeah.
The emotion is, you know, the externals of what the problem is. is different to what is the cause of the emotion. That's that decoding section, as you said.
How do you find that out, that it's different? The person tells you, or the or you interpret it?
Well, I guess it's interpretation.
I would just be a little careful of that, to read too much. It's all right to do it a little bit, but one just has to be careful that it's not manipulation. In other words, if it's it can be more like the way I see your problem than the way you see the problem. Okay, and so it's like sort of taking on the problem instead of leaving it with that person. Because, you know, did anyone here have a time when you named an emotion and the other person said, no, I'm not frustrated. It's more like, and then they said something else. Did that happen? That happened. That's okay, though. Right? It's not a real problem. The person just says, I'm not angry. I'm just, you know, I'm a little upset. That something's
if you guess wrong, they correct
you. Yeah, they correct you. And it actually helps them think clearly more about what they're feeling. Because oftentimes we're very foggy about how we actually feel about things, so we actually have to express it. Now, getting back to your point, I'd have to have known the situation, but I try to let the other person discover the deeper problems rather than myself, if I can. Yeah. But if there's some shortcoming in the some of this conversation is getting a little unnatural, then you may, of course, try to bring that up. Yes, Guru?
If the dominant emotion is confusion, when the dominant emotion behind
is confusion.
Is confusion. One is looking for clarity, and one is really looking for advice. So, in as much as you want to keep away from these four modes of advising, interpreting, probing, and evaluating, but the other person is really looking for...
If he's looking for advice, that's all right. But also, many times, they can come up with that. People can become unconfused. They can solve their own problems by thinking clearly. And we can be, like I was saying, we can become a facilitator to help them solve their own problems. I'll bring up some examples next class. I'll read them out loud to give you some idea. We're out of time, and I don't want to upset Raghubir Prabhu. So please, try your level best to, keep your ears open for opportunities to hear other people. And so tomorrow is Vasant Panchami. There's initiations. There's four spiritual masks to the initiation. And then Wednesday is Prakram, so we'll be here Thursday. Usually after Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.